Our scripture reading this evening is from Psalm number 30, verses 1 through 5. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Some of you may have read my lay leader message for February, and I called it Winter. And kind of the weather today sort of is appropriate for this message. But as the end of January drew around and I was pondering what to write about in my lay leader message for the February newsletter, I'm not sure why I got to thinking about the concept of winter. It was one of those stream of consciousness things where I was wondering what to write about, and sometimes I think about, okay, what's topical, what's coming up? Well, Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day is coming up. What's Groundhog Day? How do you write about Groundhog Day in a church newsletter? Well, that's about the end of winter and the beginning of spring. It's like, you know, there's some symbolism in there I could work with. Because we think about winter as a negative thing, because it's cold and it's barren, it's empty. We associate it with old age, with death, with hardship, fear, despair, grief. The list goes on and on. And when we contemplate spring, we associate it with very positive things: birth, life, youth, beauty, warmth, renewal. So on Groundhog Day, which was February 2nd, we find out whether we're going to have an early spring or an extended winter based on whether or not a groundhog named Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow or not. And whereas this is a fun little tradition, it's never quite made sense to me. If he sees his shadow, we get 6 more weeks of winter, but if he doesn't see his shadow, we get an early spring. And that seems counterintuitive to me, because you would think that a sunny day where he saw his shadow would be portentous of an early spring, and a cloudy day where he didn't see his shadow would mean we were going to have a longer winter. You know what? Whether he sees his shadow or not, winter isn't officially over until March 21st or thereabouts, so there's actually closer to 7 more weeks of winter anyway. Well, let me overanalyze some more. I want to know how some groundhog in Pennsylvania can determine the entire fate of an entire nation. And I want to know if they actually expect us to believe that Punxsutawney Phil is 125 years old, because that's how long they've been doing this. But I digress. Groundhog Day was coming upon us, and the thought of writing about winter and spring did appeal to me. And as I thought about it, it occurred to me that winter isn't all bad. Personally, I like winter. Don't think many people do, but I really do. When we moved from the East Coast to Utah, I was kind of excited about it, because I thought, you know, we'll get real winters there. And what's kind of funny is for the past 2 years, we really haven't had winter, and the East Coast has been hammered. But in any event, I do like winter. And sure, like everybody else, when we get those snowfalls on Mother's Day, I've had my fill. I'm ready for spring. But winter is filled with a beauty all of its own. And as I thought about what to talk about tonight and struggled with it, I finally decided I'd like to expand my thoughts about winter that I wrote about it. I don't know if my talk is going to do justice to the ideas that I had, but I'm going to do my best and try to look at winter and spring as symbols of life experiences. Now, part of the difficulty for me talking about winter is because looking at it as a negative thing, I should say, is because of the fact that I really do enjoy winter, and I always have. For starters, Christmas is in winter, so, you know, that winter begins with Christmas. What could be better than that? I love a cold winter day when you're at home, cozy in your house, sitting by your fireplace. You flip on the TV, watch an old movie, watch a football game, curl up with a really good book. And that just that sense of safety and security as the cold weather just charges outside. I love living here in Utah and looking out the windows of my front of my house to the back of the house at the mountains, or driving up and down Bangor Highway looking east and west instead of north and south as I ought to be doing, because those beautiful snow-capped mountains. I really enjoy skiing. I really like to sled. I love that peaceful whispering sound that snow makes when it's coming down gently. Winter really does bring a lot of beauty and fun. But I recognize that winter holds unpleasant aspects too. When the weekend's over and Monday rolls around and you have to leave the warmth of your house and head out into the bitter cold, I really don't like being cold. When you have to shovel the snow, I don't like that. When you have to clear off your car and endure an extended commute, possibly a dangerous commute due to bad road conditions, that's not enjoyable at all. And of course, we have more than our fair share of winter days where the beautiful snow-capped peaks of the Wasatch Front and the Okers are invisible due to the nasty air of an inversion. Not only is that just plain depressing, but after a while, it's not very healthy either. And of course, our gas and electric bills go up as the temperature goes down. So yes, I readily admit that winter has many drawbacks. But here's the thing. Without winter, would we have a proper appreciation of and perspective of spring? The poet Robert Browning wrote, "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. Oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." And unfortunately, most of us do tend to learn more in the wintry moments than in any other time of life. Winter is necessary. Winter is an inescapable part of life. And winter comes to us in many ways. But I truly believe in the proverbial silver lining in every snow-filled cloud. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. Not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Back in November of 2004, I was away from home on a business trip in Orlando, Florida. And one night I was sitting alone in my hotel room watching television, and my cell phone rang. And it was my brother Jim calling me. I thought that was really strange. Jim was calling to tell me that the family had been trying to track me down. Earlier that day, my dad had been diagnosed with cancer. And they told us that he had maybe a year to live. And you can see it's still hard for me to talk about that. And it may have been the hardest moment of my life. It was even harder than November 18th, 2005, 1 year later, when my father finally passed away. To know that this man who raised me, the man that I admired and loved, the husband of my mother, the man that I admired, was not going to be part of my life anymore was really difficult to comprehend. And I broke down and I cried like I hadn't cried since I was a little boy. And when I collected myself, I continued the conversation with my brother, who was crying also. And he told me that my mom and dad really wanted me to call. So I said I would give them a call. I hung up the phone, and I broke down again, to the point where I wondered if anybody in the hallway walking up and down the hall would wonder what was going on in my room. I collected myself, and I called Janelle. I needed that emotional support because I was all alone. After hanging up with Janelle, I cried again. I collected myself again, and I finally called my parents. And I had a wonderful conversation with them. And I held myself together until I hung up and I fell apart again. I learned a great deal on that night and in the ensuing year. And everything I learned was a positive lesson despite the difficulty of the circumstances. I learned things about myself that I didn't know, things about my faith. I learned new things about my father and my mother, new reasons to love and admire them and be thankful that I was being raised and had been raised by them. I learned things about my brothers and sister. I learned that others had traveled the same road before me and that they were eager to support me as a son preparing to say goodbye to his father. I learned again that death doesn't really part us from someone we love. Just a few weeks ago, our friend Debbie Paulson lost her mother. And I thought I'd learned all the lessons I could possibly learn about losing a parent, but I hadn't. As I communicated with Debbie through her mother's passing, as I sat here through her mother's memorial service, I learned new lessons. Lessons of the shared faith of a mother and daughter. I learned of the strength that one can impart to others, even if they themselves are the one caught up in that storm of winter. When it comes time for me to say goodbye to my children, I truly hope that I can do so with my father's optimism and humor and Maria Martinez's faith and joy. Until that time, I hope I can share my experiences with others and that it will ease their burdens in some small way, just as others made my experience easier to bear. As I searched the Bible to see what else God had to say to us about winter, about hardships and trials, about grief and fear, about illness and aging, I discovered over and over again the reminder that everything is temporary. Life itself is temporary, but nothing is without purpose. We may not always grasp the purpose, but we can certainly always grow as people and as children of God by traveling through our winters. Additionally, we must not miss the opportunity for personal growth by failing to travel through winter with others. And I mean that in two ways. First, we don't need to endure hardships, our own hardships, all by ourselves. I was alone in that hotel room that night, but I was not alone. I was a phone call away from people I love and who love me and who helped sustain me. Second, we should not allow anyone else to endure a hardship alone. Neither of those situations is God's intention. As we pass through the season of winter, awaiting the spring, let's remember that we can find solace and warmth in the nurturing kindness of others. And we ourselves can be a breath of spring to someone else through our love, through our compassion, our sympathy, understanding, and our very presence. One of my most favorite Christmas carols is In the Bleak Midwinter. The lyricist in the first verse paints a desolate picture of winter. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow, in the bleak midwinter, long ago. As the song progresses, we're reminded of what winter brought, the birth of Christ. And then the last verse of the song teaches a subtle and important lesson and ushers in a change of seasons, so to speak. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart. Notice how the focus shifts from the icy cold of winter to the warm gesture of giving. And more importantly, notice what is ultimately given, my heart. But most important of all, and what always jumps out at me, is that the song ends, give my heart, not give him my heart. In fact, I think that's a very important distinction, and I'm quite sure it was intentional on the part of the writer of the song. In fact, I could even argue that the song might even flow better if it went something like, yet what I can I give him my heart, or I give him my heart, or something like that. And of course, Jesus wants us to give him our heart, but Jesus wants us to give our heart by giving our hearts to others. So in order to honor Jesus, we give our hearts, and we give ourselves, and we give it in his name. For me, this reinforces the concept of the Word made flesh in us, which is a message that Pastor Steve often imparts to us. Jesus isn't here in the flesh right now, but we are. The heart is another emotion or symbol, excuse me, of warmth, love, compassion, and emotional knowledge. When we think with our hearts, we're acting with Christian charity. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. I'd just like to leave you with this thought. When winter descends upon us, let's remember that there's always shelter, always an opportunity for new growth, and often a unique beauty to be found in the most trying of circumstances. The passing of the seasons brings us fresh perspectives on our experiences, and sometimes we discover that a verdant spring would never have resulted were it not for the winter that preceded it. Amen.